All right, it is 6 p.m. I am going to call this evening's meeting of the Planning Commission to order. Can I have a roll call, please?
Chair Maravilla?
Here.
Vice Chair Berlin?
Here.
Commissioner Buchanan?
Here.
Commissioner Roof?
Here.
And Commissioner Sackerson is absent this evening.
Thank you. I see she was supposed to lead this flag salute tonight, so I will take over for her. So if everyone could please rise.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right. And agenda review. Does anyone want to revise the order of agenda items tonight? Nope. All right. We'll move on. The next item on our agenda is community comments and suggestions. This is a public comment period as an invitation to members of the community to present issues, thoughts, or suggestions on matters not scheduled on this agenda and that are limited to those matters that are within the jurisdiction of the Planning Commission. Members of the public may provide public comment remotely on the Zoom meeting by using the raise hand feature. Is there anyone in here tonight that would like to make a public comment on an item that's not on the agenda tonight? No one in the room? Do I have anyone online that would like to make a public comment tonight?
If there's anyone on the Zoom meeting online that would like to make a public comment, please raise your hand now. Chairman Ravilli, we have no raised hands.
Great. Thank you so much. With that, I will close the public comment period. And we'll move on to the next item on our agenda, which is written communications. Were there any written communications this evening?
None today.
Great. Thank you so much. That means we'll move on to our consent agenda, which is item 7A, which is the approval of the minutes of our last meeting. Do we have any questions or comments from commissioners? No. Is there any public comment on the consent agenda this evening? None in the room? Is there any online?
If anybody on Zoom would like to speak on this item, please raise your hand. Chair Maravilla, we have no raised hands.
Thank you so much. With that, I will move to approve the minutes on the consent to approve the consent agenda, which includes the approval of the minutes. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Go ahead, Virginia.
I'll second.
All right. I'll fight it out. Can I have a vote, please?
Chair Maravilla?
Yes.
Commissioner Roof?
Yes.
Commissioner Buchanan?
Yes.
Vice Chair Berlin?
Yes.
Thank you. And that moves us right along to public hearing items. Item 8A is consideration of the CUP 23-008, establishment of a veterinary clinic in an existing structure and finding that this action is exempt from review under the CEQA pursuant to state guidelines section 15301. Do we have a staff report?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Members of the Planning Commission, I'm Andrew Perez, the city's planning manager, and I'll be presenting the staff report for this conditional use permit application. So as the chair mentioned, this project location is 110 South Cortland Street. The property is zoned gateway mixed use, and this, along with two other commercial buildings on East Grand Avenue, make up subarea 3A of the Bear Garden specific plan. Surrounding uses include commercial development to both the east and the west, and residential development to the south. So the applicant proposes to establish a veterinary clinic in an existing 2,943 square foot tenant space. Of that area, 170 square feet would be accessible to the public in the waiting room, and the remaining 2,773 square feet would include the office, treatment room, storage areas, and other space in order to carry out the veterinary duties. The applicant proposes to primarily provide appointment-based care that would occur between 7 a.m. and 8 p.m., 7 days a week. The current structure in which this use is proposed is currently under construction, So this conditional use permit is just to establish the use. So here is an image of the building that's currently under construction. This application does not propose any exterior alterations. That building was entitled along with the specific plan back almost 10 years ago now. There's also no signage being proposed with this application, and an application for a sign would be reviewed separately at a later date. So I mentioned this property is zoned gateway mixed use, and really the intention for the gateway mixed use zone is to provide areas for a mixture of commercial, office, and residential uses that are compatible with the surrounding residential uses. It encourages small scale pedestrian oriented developments. And typical uses include both single and multifamily residential, specialty retail sales, offices, personal services, and small markets. Rio Grande Municipal Code section 16.36 establishes that veterinary clinics are allowed in this zone with the approval of a conditional use permit. So the underlying land use designation for this property is mixed use. Really, the general plan states that this designation is intended to provide areas for a variety of service uses that benefit the greater community. This specific project is supported by multiple elements in the multiple policies in the land use element, specifically policies 5-1 and 5-2, which really just encourage a variety and diversity of commercial uses that complement the residential character, as well as providing businesses that meet the daily needs of our residents. Furthermore, economic development element ED3-1 generally supports business expansion, development, and redevelopment. So any new businesses that are coming into our city are supported by this element. Looking at this parking for this use, falls under the general service and commercial category, which requires one parking space for every 250 square feet of gross floor area. At 3,050 square feet of gross floor area, the parking requirement is 12 parking spaces. And those 12 spaces are provided entirely on the subject property, kind of as seen here on this image. The parcel in which this project is proposed is kind of L-shaped. So in addition to the building site, it also includes that strip of parking highlighted in red on this image. Like all conditional use permits, the staff advisory committee discussed this project, and that happened at its meeting on September 14th. Multiple topics were discussed, including exterior lighting, given the proximity of the use to the residential uses to the south, hours of operation and fire safety related to the storage of chemicals and medication that's required for the veterinary use. Conditions 13 and 14 in the prepared resolution specifically address safe, secure storage for potentially dangerous chemicals. This project was reviewed in accordance with the California Environmental Quality Act, and it was determined that the project is categorically exempt pursuant to Section 15301A of the CEQA guidelines regarding existing facilities. And this exemption applies when minor alterations are proposed to an existing structure, such as this case, where just a minor tenant improvement and no intensification of the use. The public was notified of tonight's hearing via a public hearing notice being mailed to all property owners within 300 feet of the project site. That public hearing notice was also published in the Tribune, posted at City Hall, and on the city's website on October 27th. And additionally, the entire Planning Commission agenda and staff reports were also posted at City Hall and in the website in accordance to the government code. So in conclusion, staff does recommend that the Planning Commission adopt a resolution approving conditional use permit 23-008 to establish a veterinary clinic at 110 South Cortland Street. And that concludes the presentation.
Thank you, appreciate it. Do we have any questions from commissioners right now? Commissioner Buchanan, anything? Commissioner Berlin? Commissioner Roof?
I just had one question. about, I had emailed before, but was there any data that the applicant gave for how many veterinary hospitals are an area of our size needs? Like, mm-hmm. Is there capacity? Like, what does that look like? Or do we have any idea on that? Just curious.
Yeah, I had a chance to speak with the applicant this afternoon. And really, he has worked through at many of the veterinary hospitals in the area. And I think really the need is just determined through experience. No market analysis was done, but in his opinion, there is that need and
okay.
Looks to fill a niche.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. I think my only question was that I think you had mentioned that this could come up in front of us again. Was it just for the signage or was it something else?
If I said that, I misspoke. It would okay. The sign permit would be administratively approved or could be administratively approved
okay.
by the director.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. I don't have any other questions on this. We'll move over to public comment on this item. So if you would like to comment on item 8A, please take the time right now.
I just think I have an answer to your question.
You can come on up, introduce yourself, please.
Brenda Auer, have a good friend that works with feline cats and have been to the emergency animal, the only one that's open in our area, a couple different times, and the wait is 2 to 4 hours. So just the answer to your question, something would be nice to when your animal's sick to not have to wait that long. So I think it's needed. That's all.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the room that would like to make public comment on this item?
Go ahead, you go first.
My comment is the name of the zone is a mixed use zone. And I do think that a business like this would add a good diversity of mix. I go past that area and I actually recognize that building. And there are some restaurants and stuff, but a place like this definitely be a nice addition.
Thank you.
Yeah,
please introduce yourself.
Sure. I'm Dr. Michael O'Hara. I'm the veterinarian that's looking to open up on the site. Thank you guys for your support. I just want to say I worked at many of the clinics in this area. I worked ER last few years. And since COVID, there's just been an abundance of animals and veterinarians are trying to play catch up constantly and we're booked up for weeks. And so I think another clinic is needed in this area.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Would anyone else like to make public comment? No takers in the room. Is there anyone online that would like to make public comment on item 8A?
If anybody online on Zoom would like to make a public comment, please raise your hand at this time. Looks like we have one hand, gentleman by the name of Mike Harris.
Okay, thank you.
Mike, if you can unmute yourself, you should be able to speak now.
Just say I support it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. If there is no further public comment, is there anyone else online? No.
No, there's.
Okay. I will close the public comment section and ask if anyone has any questions or comments. No. I'm excited to see something go in that area. So that's very exciting to me. So thank you. And I agree. I have a dog and sometimes it takes weeks to get her in. So I think this is definitely a service that's needed. I'll entertain a motion right now if anyone would like to make one.
I'll make a motion that we approve the conditional use permit 23-008 establishment of a veterinary clinic in the existing structure and the finding that this action is exempt from review under the CEQA pursuant to state guidelines section 15301.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Can I have a vote, please?
Commissioner Roof?
Yes.
Commissioner Buchanan?
Yes.
Vice Chair Berlin?
Yes.
Chair Maravilla?
Yes. Awesome. Thank you.
Congratulations.
All right. That moves us along to item 8B, which is consideration of CUP 23-001, the AG Creek Stream Gouge Improvement, in finding that this action is exempt from review under the CEQA State Guidelines Sections 15301, 15302, and 15304. Do we have a report on this item?
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
My name is Patrick Holo. I'm the city's associate planner. Really excited about the opportunity to present this project to you. As you mentioned, this is the Arroyo Grande Creek Stream Gauge Improvement Project, which really has the overarching goal of opening Arroyo Grande Creek to steelhead habitat. So some background on the stream gauge. In the 1940s, the U.S. Geological Survey installed the gauge, but since its installation, the continuous erosion happening on the downstream side of the stream gauge has really increased the severity of the fish passage barrier to the point where it's generally understood that steelhead cannot traverse this this barrier here in the creek. And so they are confined either above or below it and not able to pass back upstream. So in 2008, the San Luis Obispo County Board of Supervisors approved an MOU with a number of groups, but with the goal of improving the stream gauge that we're talking about here. There was a previous round of funding that was obtained. I kind of left that out of the report, but the current project is funded through the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation and the California Department of Fish and Wildlife. And also wanted to highlight the fact that the group proposing this project was originally and for a long time known as the Central Coast Salmon Enhancement and has since changed their names to Creekland Conservation, but still with the same mission and a lot of the same folks in the organization. So this particular project was reviewed by the Staff Advisory Committee October 26th of this year. The Staff Advisory Committee was very supportive of this project and highlighted a couple of their concerns that have made its way into the conditions of approval tonight. First of which the Staff Advisory Committee was concerned about was road closures necessary for the deployment of materials and the removal of demolished materials, potential impacts to the neighborhood associated with those road closures, how the neighbors and that neighborhood in general could be notified prior to the start of construction. Also just sort of concerned to receive any updates on what's changed between the project's original consideration in 2013 and current, as well as the continued requirement to obtain all necessary permits from other state and federal agencies that have purview over these areas of the creek. So aside from that, the Rio Grande Municipal Code, specifically the section here on your screen, requires that the City Council approve all CUPs involving work in creeks. So as part of that, we bring the projects to the Planning Commission for a recommendation ahead of that. So in this particular case, in addition to the CUP, the applicant is responsible for obtaining approvals from the California Department of Fish and Wildlife and the Central Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board, very long acronym, prior to their construction. The Creeklands Conservation is also going to be seeking a fee waiver once the City Council gets a chance to review this project within the next month or so, probably. All right, now we get to the fun stuff. So I wanted to show everybody sort of what this gauge that we're talking about even looks like, because it's extremely difficult to see from anywhere except right where this picture is taken from and maybe just off to the left there. But this particular picture was taken prior to this last winter's storms. I will admit that the gauge does not look exactly this way right now, but this was taken from the downstream side of the gauge looking upstream at the fish passage barrier that we're talking about. So where the water is passing over to the right side there is where the stream gauge is, and that's where the county measures the water flow. And that information from that water flow is informs a lot of the way that they handle Arroyo Grande Creek and then through Oceano and through the management of the flood control channel. Moving forward, there's another angle sort of showing you a little bit more of the gauge there. It's, as mentioned in the staff report, this area is about 35 feet below the top of the bank, which is where you'll see the very top of the picture. There's actually sort of a bridge going out to that tower structure. So that's sort of where the road Myrtle Street's at, just to give you some reference. So it's extremely difficult to look down into this area. And it's really difficult to get there unless you're coming from the other side of the creek. And then this is just a sort of a screenshot from a video that I unfortunately was not able to make work, but the Creeklands Conservation kind of wanted people to put themselves in the in the shoes, if you will, of a fish. And so they wanted you to kind of see what the barrier exactly looks like. So this picture is taken from the water surface elevation right at the bottom of the stream gauge. And you can kind of see there's about between 4 to 6, maybe even more feet of jump required for a fish to make it over this area. So specifically talking about the project description, the staff report elaborates quite a bit more, but the main goal is to modify the existing concrete weir, which goes across the entirety of the creek. The goal in lowering that is to allow steelhead to be able to jump over it. And so based on the technical studies that have been done, by lowering this jump height of the weir, they open up about 3.3 miles of Arroyo Grande Creek to steelhead habitat. And so that's really important for this federally threatened species. And then in terms of the actual access to this project, construction access and crane and removal of equipment will all occur from Myrtle Street. However, there will be an electrical connection from Stanley Avenue. Really quickly, just talking about that, the original consideration of this project involved the applicant installing a generator for all of their electrical work here. And that really was going to lead to some potentially significant noise impacts on the neighborhood. We were really excited to hear with this particular round of application that they had found a solution to potentially connect an electrical conduit on the Stanley Avenue side near the school district. So we believe that will significantly reduce noise impacts and really is going to help with this project a lot in terms of impacts on the neighborhood. So just to show you where that electrical connection is occurring, it's going to be hard to see, but there's this white line running basically down the west side of Stanley Avenue, and there will be a temporary power pole placed sort of in the middle of the creek where that line ends with the circle. So continuing with the project description, while the work on the concrete is being done, the creek is going to be diverted around the work area through a series of pipes. And so also in conjunction with that, the applicant is proposing to use quick-set concrete, which has approximately 24-hour cure time to try and minimize the amount of time that the diversion will be needed. And also the project has some funding through the Board of Supervisors MOU, which to look at the connection of the drainage to the outfall structure. There's been some questions about whether or not that was connected correctly. And if it has not been connected, then it will be in this project. And so that'll be some investigation done here as well. I included this this image here to kind of show the difference in the elevation. So it's going to be, there's a lot of grays here, but the dark gray at the bottom is the new structure, while the lighter gray at the top is the old one. And you can see that the overall, the weir is going to be about probably 4 to 6 feet lower based on what I'm seeing here as compared to current. So it will really reduce the that jump height that we've been looking at. This one's also going to be tough to see, but it was in your plans, I believe, and it kind of shows that there's 4 different revegetation areas for planting, and they have exclusively native species that are going to be planted here, but with really thoughtful areas in terms of the types of native species that are planted. So you have the upland riparian area closest to the school, and then you have further upland riparian areas just south of that, but then there's also some different types of species near the riprap, kind of in the middle of your screen, and then there's some herbaceous shrubby natives further to the west here. So this project is consistent with our conservation open space element, and specifically objective 2, which says that the city shall safeguard important environmental and sensitive biological resources, and also general plan policy 2.1.6, which is protect natural creekside habitat, including opportunities for wildlife habitation, rest, and movement, and also to further the restoration of degraded habitat. And so the environmental review portion of this project does rely upon 3 separate CEQA exemptions for different reasons. So I wanted to highlight those here. The section 15301 is the existing facilities exemption that Planning Manager Perez kind of outlined in his previous presentation. 15302 is replacement or reconstruction projects that involve replacement of a structure that has the same intended purpose after completion. And then lastly, the minor alterations of land is typically applicable when you have minor grading projects. So the CEQA guidelines do have some exceptions to these exemptions. And none of those exceptions apply in these cases. So each of these exemptions apply in this case. With that, I'm happy to take questions. We also have the project applicant here too, which has quite a bit of history on this project, and happy to answer any questions now.
Thank you. And I'll start down here. Commissioner Roof, do you have any questions?
Yeah, I was when I was reviewing the report, I noticed that it referenced that there were two creek-aligned trails that CLC had plans for on page 34 of the report. And I was just wondering, like, I want to go walk on those trails. Like, where are those trails at?
Hi, everyone. My name is Steph Wald, and I'm Watershed Projects Manager with Creeklands Conservation. The two trails were put in over a decade ago by the California Conservation Corps. And our office is actually located at the top of bank adjacent to Paulding Middle School fields. It's that blue house at the end of Stanley Ave. And so just come knock on the door and somebody will take you down the trail. You can get there pretty readily. There's a sign at the top of the bank. If you go past this storage area right at the end of the street, you'll see a sign that will take you into the better of the two. We try to maintain the one by the stream gauge to go down there and do some assessment. The other one has seen some wear and we haven't been able to repair it. It's further downstream on school property. And when it's functioning, we can take students down and do all kinds of fun hands-on activities down there.
Oh, cool. I have two middle schoolers at Paulding. So I'm like, oh, I would love to see them go down and participate in
that. Well, all kinds of people go down there. Students hopefully are with some kind of education program.
Right. That's what I meant. That's what I was referring to.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you so much. I think that I might have some more, but let me review and I'll come back.
Sure. Commissioner Berlin.
Yeah, thank you. I think the questions I have is pretty good staff report. Thank you for that. I don't think I have any questions, but I do have some for Ms. Wald. 15 years in the making. I'm glad to see this come before us again. But and clearly the magnitude of the storms that happened last year, was that like the straw that broke the camel's back that we got to do something to better calculate our stream flows, or no bearing on the...
No, last year's storms didn't have a bearing on the site per se. The design was done in 2015. The permits were achieved. We were ready to roll, and we were less than $10,000 short.
Yeah.
And the project manager at the time was CDFW, even though I had gotten more money, said, oh, it's no longer in conformance with your original contract.
Uh-huh.
And she had the right to cancel the uh-huh. entire contract.
Yeah. Okay. I got it. Yeah.
And so we had to go back to the drawing board. Yeah. 8 years later, the costs have gone basically off the charts. And so it's twice as expensive.
Yeah.
But since then, we've been able to make some improvements, which is good. So now we're going to have an electrical panel down there so we don't have to deal with a generator. I think that's going to be very favorable to the most downstream person on Myrtle who was, you know, concerned about that.
Yeah.
And so we're going to make this happen. The HOA is on board and the agencies are on board. We've got the CEQA dealt with. It's really just a matter of finalizing the permits and then hopefully we're good to go.
Yeah. Thank you for that. I know how that goes. My background's in revegetation. So appreciate the distinction of the call out on the different types of vegetation and the habitats there. One of the questions I have was a technical question, and maybe it's not really our purview, but I'm just curious. And I heard Patrick mention it in the staff report. I had the thought, as I was either falling asleep or semi-conscious, the flow, you know, when they do a stream diversion like that, it's a pretty, you know, it's a routine thing when you're working in stream beds that they figure out a way to divert the stream and then they have the obligation to rehook it. So does somebody check it pre-disturbance and post-disturbance to make sure that the, you know, flow parameters are still within tolerances of once they replummet?
So we're actually in contact with the county to have them ramp down before the project. And once the project, once the flow is ramped down, agency personnel and trained staff come in, we have to do frog surveys, we have to do fish surveys, and we have to move any critters that are essentially in the project footprint. And then the diversion happens. So all the critters are moved away. The diversion happens. We have the California Conservation Corps, which is very experienced in putting in these diversions, coming to do that. And the goal, as Patrick said, and your staff report indicates, is to keep that diversion in for as short a period as possible. During the time that the diversion is in, we are required to have someone with what's called a 4D permit. It's a National Marine Fisheries Service Endangered Species Act permit. Mm-hmm. In the event that a fish, a steelhead, is seen up or downstream, certainly upstream, and is in any kind of distress, we do have to move it, and the 4D permit holder is the one to do that.
I see. So as far as timelines go, are you forecasting this construction to happen middle of next year, spring?
This coming summer. And so we're actually going to start some of the vegetation, what we're calling the haircut, at the top of the hill in July. And then if all goes well and the contracting works as envisioned, which is always iffy, we should go to construction in August. We do have a fairly narrow window of getting in there in terms of the Endangered Species Act. And we have to be out by the start of the, by the end of the water year, basically October 15th.
October 1st or 15th?
15, yeah. And I think we'll probably, you know, if we actually have to, it could go to the 30th, but the agencies will let us know whether that's okay or not.
So you're probably looking at a 90-day window then of construction?
Yeah, but construction's only going to take about 3 weeks.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. That's all the questions I have. It's fascinating to me and really glad. I always wondered whatever happened to Salmon Enhancement.
Well, we're still here.
Yeah, just got a different name now. So
glad we rebranded because we don't do salmon anymore in Avila Bay.
Yeah, right. Okay. Thanks so much. Appreciate it. That's all I have.
Thank you. Commissioner Buchanan, do you have any questions?
No, I don't have any questions, but like Commissioner Berlin said, this is really a fascinating project. So thanks.
Thank you. Commissioner Berlin actually asked my timeline question, so thank you for asking that. And I also think it's also fascinating, and it's I don't know too much about fish and how they move up and downstream, so I appreciate learning that. You had mentioned that you had talked to the HOA in that area. How long is the street actually going to be closed on Myrtle? Is it only like a day or two, or is it like that whole length of the project? I'm sure you know too.
We won't need to close the road completely. One lane
will
be closed when the crane is deployed and removed.
Okay.
And there may be a dump truck from the California Conservation Corps in one lane when we do the haircut to take material away.
So it's like a couple days here and there, essentially.
But only to one lane. It won't be completely closed. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. I think those were really my only questions. Did you think of things?
That's what I was going to ask about was the street. So thank you for asking that. And also a totally fascinating project. Like when we got this packet, I was like, oh my goodness, I'm going to be learning about some fish. This is very exciting. And thank you so much for bringing it forward. I know from looking at the history, it's been a long timeline, like Commissioner Berlin mentioned. And when I saw that $8,000, I was like, but here we are. And, excited to see it go through. Thank you.
Thanks. With that, I'll move on to public comment for this item. So if you have a comment that you would like to make on item 8B, now is the time. Is there anyone in the room this evening? No? Okay. Anyone online would like to make comment on this item?
If anybody on Zoom would like to comment on this item, please raise your hand now. Chair, we have zero raised hands.
Great. Thank you so much. I'll close public comment. Any commissioners have any further questions or comments? No? I'll entertain a motion at this point then.
I'll make a motion, Chair. Madam Chair, let's see. Let me get the wording right. In consideration of the CUP 23-001, the AG Creek Stream Gauge Improvement, I make a motion that we approve the project to the city council. And we also determined that this project is categorically exempt per section 15301, 15302, and 15304 of the CEQA guidelines.
Thank you. I will second that motion. Can I have a vote, please?
Vice Chair Berlin?
Yes.
Chair Maravilla?
Yes.
Commissioner Buchanan?
Yes.
Commissioner Roof?
Yes.
All right. Motion has passed. Thank you so much. Hopefully this gets going.
Staff.
Absolutely.
Great to hear. Thank you.
You know, when we get underway, you can come and visit.
Okay.
I know. I want to see the trail as well. Thank you very much.
Thanks for doing your work. Appreciate it.
All right, moving on to non-public hearing items. We don't have any on the agenda, so we will move on to administrative items that have been passed since October 17th. Do I have any questions from the commission on any items on this portion?
I had one question.
Sure.
Just about the Rory's doing the parklet. We saw last meeting, I think, all the parklets kind of come through for all the other businesses. Did Rory's like change their mind, or was it extended, or what happened with that?
Yeah, so Rory's actually just applied for their parklet after everybody else. It just was the timing of them being ready with their business and other priorities. They were kind of also sorting out whether or not to do a one space or two space.
Okay. Is there still opportunity to apply for that, or is it closed now?
There are still opportunities.
Okay. Because yeah, I saw there's that new candy place or whatever, and I'm like, maybe somebody should go tell
them. Well, just so you know, they will be included in the parklets.
They applied for
a small one space parklet around the same time everybody else did.
Thank you. Cool.
Yeah, Commissioner Berlin.
Yeah, on a different item, on the item number two, the temporary flower stand, I see that was given temporary approval for up to 6 months. My question is that like on some kind of a contingency, if they follow the rules and everything's fine within 6 months, they can reapply? Or
no, it's actually just that the temporary use permit really only allows any use to continue for about 6 months. If they wanted to do a more permanent flower stand, they'd just probably be using a different type of permit.
And I wasn't quite clear. I'm sorry. I Google mapped or something where that was. It's behind McDonald's. Is that
actually it's at the Arco gas station.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense. Okay. Yep. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other questions from commissioners? All right. Is there any public comment on these items tonight?
Hi, I'm Brenda Auer again, and I'm actually here to speak on behalf of several of the people on the same block as the ice cream parlor that's asking for the parklet. There's three of us, we're small businesses there. Actually, there's four, Posies as well. We have limited parking, and most of those businesses there cater to older people. The restaurant, Village Cafe, Tammy's asked for me to read a letter. Renee that has the green room, and then Posies and myself. I do real estate. I don't really cater to older people, but even to walk up the street for parking is hard for them to do. It's very congested, shall we say, in the village already. I know you guys, when you get in out of your car here at night or in the middle of the day, you really got to look to not get your door taken off. With the parklets, we saw accidents. We saw road marks on the concretes. I watched personally RVs get their mirrors taken off. We live in a different area than Solvang and Santa Barbara. We have tractors, we have farming equipment, we have school buses that go use this as a main thoroughfare. Anyway, the parking is really tight. I want you to please reconsider. As far as the ice cream parlor goes, I don't think it follows the parameters you're talking about 80 feet, 90 feet. I understand they may have to put it down the road further, but the ice cream parlor in particular has a huge room in the back that they've chosen not to use. And I talked to him today, Carl. I want him to know I'm not against them. I like having the ice cream parlor there. I don't like the parklets. I'm going to be frank with you. I think they're dangerous. So with that being said, they don't really need it. I understand Hamdinger's got theirs, but everybody came in and knew they didn't have parking on the street. And, you know, everybody knew the parking situation. Of course, a couple of years ago, that changed across the street. Let me just review my notes, make sure I said everything I wanted to, because COVID really changed things. I want you to take a look at those guidelines that you put out, that it's going to take up a major portion of that area. And if you don't mind, I'll read Tammy's now. Let me pull it up.
Tammy's the agent cafe?
This is Tammy at the cafe. Yeah. My name's Tammy Price. I'm the owner of Village Cafe. I worked there for 23 years, and I'm on my 15th year of ownership. As I stayed at the last meeting, I was able to attend. These parklets were made available so businesses could remain open during COVID closure. Once that was lifted and we were all allowed to continue business as usual, 100% indoors, and parklets should have been removed. Also, it was said that the village has ample parking, which may be true for the east end of the village, but not for the west end. Things have changed a lot since the parking lot access across the street of Klondike's parking lot was made a paid parking lot. People actually got offended and angry, thinking it was the city that was being greedy and trying to charge people like San Luis does. They had every right, and I completely understand why they did it, but the general public does not understand. It actually deterred a lot of people coming from the village, and I agree with that. Village Cafe has a lot of elderly customers that have been going there for 30 plus years. They're unable to walk the distance from the free parking area in the village. That also brings up the question of handicap parking. Is there any handicap parking in the village? I feel that nobody cares about our older generation anymore, and they're not getting the respect and consideration they very much deserve. We need to take their needs into consideration after all they pretty much built our city. As a business owner, we have to pay a fee for parking depending on how many employees we have, yet the parklets take away from those parking, so why are we paying for a fee? Also, some businesses don't have any designated parking. Some businesses don't have any designated parking spaces for their customers or employees. I love my neighbors and I wish them well. I support them, but I don't understand putting in a parklet when we already don't have existing property. She says, thank you. Okay, I've got one more. This is from Posies. Renee. Did Renee send you something from Green Room?
No.
Okay. Renee agrees at the Green Room. Here we go. Tammy at Posies. Not to be redundant, I'm not Tammy. I'm Brenda. My name is Tammy Miller. I am the owner of Posies in the village of Arroyo Grande. I'm concerned about another parklet being approved in the village. My store is three doors down from Roy's ice cream shop. We have very limited parking out front. Roy's gets one in addition to the one we already have approved for our little block. We will have very little parking available. It will adversely affect my business. I understand that Roy's would like to have parklet. I want to be considerate to the businesses around me. I also feel like my business should be considered as well. I'm okay with the parklets, but there really has to be a limit to how many can be in the area. We have 8 parking spaces for 7 businesses. So the parklet that has already been approved takes a fourth of our parking spaces. So I ask you to please to not approve the parklet for Rory's. So I'm going to end now, but I want to say just one more thing. Again, I want to reiterate, tractors, farm equipment, it's really tight there already. The parklets make it tighter. We're not your normal little street, you know? We're beautiful. We've got so much going for us. But there's a lot of farmers out there that need to have access. And the boats, the RVs, all of them going to the lake. Thank you. I really pray we will reconsider this, okay?
Thank you. Right.
Can I ask a question before you go? Do you, in that little strip there, do you businesses have any parking kind of behind where Harvest Church took over that big building?
Harvest Church has most of the parking.
They took all the parking back there.
They didn't take all of it. They have a lot of it.
Okay. Do you guys have any spots back there?
I personally have 2 spots back there. The Green Room doesn't have any. I don't think Tammy has any. Most of that parking back there was for the bar that's being leased again, apparently. So that's their parking. And again, those are stairs. Go back there and check it out. There's a
needing more park. I was just wondering if there were spots designated for your business.
If you were to come through the bar, say if it was open to get to the street, you would have to go down a set of stairs. If you were to park at my office, you have to go down a really steep hill. I'm getting older. It's getting tougher for me. But your elderly can't make it up and down that hill. It's not like where the public parking is down the street where it's more level. So your answer is yes and no. When church is in, there's no parking. That's great.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Just question on that. There was some mention of the parklet being in a different spot than was designated. Is that accurate or?
Yeah, I think I've met with our engineering staff to try and look at the exact placement of each of these parklets, try and come up with the actual plan to provide our public works staff. In this particular location, we proposed shifting the parklet away from that driveway approach right by Humdinger by the extra 4 feet that we're going to have when we, let me back up. There's between each grouping of two parking spaces in the village, there's a anywhere from 4 to 6 to 8 foot gap.
Yeah.
And that's to help facilitate parallel parking. We've done some research and don't believe that we need any of those. And so we will be proposing to eliminate those as striping is replaced along Branch Street. And so our goal was to sort of shift the parklet over, recognizing that we'd lose the gap in between the two businesses. But after speaking with Tammy today, I'm going to have to go back and speak with our engineering staff and see if that's really the best approach. I do think that this particular parklet that we're talking about here, when combined with Humdinger, does meet the city's ordinance in terms of the overall length. We're talking about two 40-foot parklets, so collectively 80 feet, and the ordinance allows 90. So
this is within the guidelines of the ordinance.
It is within the guidelines. And so our intention would be to work with any of the businesses here that are affected and try and come up with a solution that works for everybody. So it sounds like there's already been some discussion between the couple of businesses directly. And so I'd like to see what we can do to try to facilitate that. But we'll be looking at placing the parklet either directly against the driveway approach near Humdinger, or maybe shifting it a little bit to provide some better visibility for pedestrians. But we're going to try and make sure as many people as possible are comfortable with what we choose.
And is there any option for handicapped parking spaces within that end of the village?
That's a challenge. I'm not sure that I can give you a great answer on that. There's a few challenges when you talk about people parking on the street and then having to get up on the curb. That sort of
defeats the purpose
any of the street handicap parking, unless we maybe had one near a corner and then they could get to the curb ramp near the corner. That would be one solution. But I believe all the ADA parking within the village is generally located either in Old Han Alley or in LaPointe Street parking lot.
Right. So regardless of the parklets, there really isn't handicapped access in that portion of the village right now.
Not in a way that meets ADA standards. I mean, someone could maybe park there. And
there's not a handicap in the public parking lot adjacent to the where the card shop used to be.
Yeah, and the car corral, there is some, yes.
There's got to be at least one there, I think.
There's two, it looks like we're at least
in that area. And that's relatively flat ground. I mean, obviously, the further you go up the hill, but I think those handicap spots, if I'm remembering right, are pretty close to...
Yeah, they're just right behind the curb by where the old Village Grill is, basically in that area where you can pull off Branch Street into that parking lot.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Thank you.
Just real quick, Brian Vedrani, Community Development Director, just to reiterate the approval process for parklets, just kind of for the benefit of the public.
Thank you.
The City Council did approve a permanent parklet program, forgetting the date, but it was a little while ago, last year. The parklets as part of that permanent program, so there was a kind of COVID era parklet program that was put into place as an emergency basis almost. That era is over. The City Council approved a permanent parklet program, which includes various fees for use of the parking now, which encroachment fees, rental fees, barrier fees. So those are all worked into the program. Those are plot plans that are approved in accordance with the parklet program by staff. And then they are administratively noticed on your agenda. And there's an appeal period for each of those. The one that's on our agenda today, the appeal period is 5 o'clock p.m. on November 8th of 2023.
Thank you. So if businesses in the area would want to appeal this project, that is when they have to go through the process of appealing the project.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Could I ask one more question? You said there aren't any more parklet applications at this point, but could there be in the future if like a new business came in and wanted to do it, they could just apply at any point?
Right. There was no set limit on a max of a number of parklets, but there are parameters that would limit the number of parklets to.
Yeah, I can add a little bit there. So the original ordinance, when we took it to the city council for a study session, the original draft ordinance did have a maximum number of parklets that you could have in the village. And I think when we brought that to the planning commission after that discussion, the ultimate ordinance that moved forward was with no max cap, with more just buffers between them. And so that actually, that justification was heard by the city council and they approved the ordinance as recommended by the planning commission. And so that's how the ordinance ended up with no cap, even though there was quite a bit of discussion about putting one.
I remember there being like the gaps would kind of cap it automatically.
Yeah, we kind of thought that there were a limited number of segments of parking areas. And so by limiting them to 80 feet in with gaps of at least 5 spaces between any parklets, then looking at the applications we received, I think it was successful. And if I can just add, looking at the Google Earth aerial of the previous parklets that Humdinger and Doc Bernstein's had, those parklets collectively were about 140 feet long. And so we're going to be shrinking those parklets by about 60 feet. And so we should get another 3 parking spaces back compared to what were there before, approximately.
Oh, that's good news.
That's good news.
I also heard you say you're going to reduce those gaps between the parking spaces.
Yeah, our goal was to do that at the same time the parklets went in. But when we kind of delayed our slurry work until next spring, that also put the striping for the road on hold. Okay. But that is our intention, is to remove those and try to provide additional on-street parking spaces where
possible. I think that's a great idea. I moved here from the city and I'm like, what is going on out there? Like, you've got like another whole parking space that's like in between two. So maybe we can get some more parking just by reducing those gaps. That's good news.
Yeah, we definitely think that there will be some more parking spaces that we gain by doing that.
And then one more question, are the parklets that are going to be put in, is that attached to that specific business? And then what happens if that business changes hands? Are they sort of like grandfathered in with that business, or the new business would have to reapply for that?
The approvals are tied to a business. All the approval letters that we've given out and I've written for the applicant so far specifically state that when the business closes or relocates, the parklet must also be removed. And so we would like to have the opportunity to review any new businesses, furniture and materials, mm-hmm. Separately through the ARC, like all the other businesses had to.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Moving on to commission communications, is there any correspondence or comments from members of the planning commission? Nope. Any staff communications this evening?
Brian Pedrotti again. Just a couple. We had city council on the 24th, we had a project for phase 2 of the utility box paintings. There was a basically, the city council held a public hearing, and it will go on to the public art panel for approval once that's scheduled. There's also a pre-application for a development code amendment to allow educational facilities as a conditional use permit use in the regional commercial zoning, and that was a pre-application. So the council did direct staff to move forward with that in process. So the planning commission will see that come through on a recommendation. And just another item from.
Can I ask you a quick question? That's yes. The Cuesta
yes.
thing that's going in the, is it the shopping center?
They've proposed initially to go into Pier 1.
Pier 1.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, okay.
And then we had the Central Coast Economic Forecast last week up at the Madonna Inn. And I won't go into everything. It actually, the presentation will be online, I think, next week. They're going to post it. One of the big takeaways was our entire area needs much more multifamily rental units. That was sort of...
Not shocking.
No, not a shocking conclusion, but a very interesting forecast. And I encourage you to kind of go through the whole thing yourself and check out all the details from The Economist.
Who can you just give us the three bullet points?
Economy's doing okay.
Yeah.
In multifamily apartments. And there's a forecast for a potential tightening of the market just because of the interest rates and the tightening of credit.
Can I ask how The Economist treated the whole Diablo issue? Because I just read that story about now the license may be 20 years, or the PG&E applied for a 20-year license. So how do they treat that in the forecast?
In the forecast, it was held by Reach, who is our local sort of regional economic development group. And mostly it was touched on with their discussion of, the extension of the time frame, and then different uses that could be there in the long term. It wasn't really embedded, I would say, in the overall economic forecast, but it was discussed.
Interesting. Thank you.
Oh, can I ask one more thing?
Yeah,
just the utility box paintings. Which boxes are getting painted, and what are they going to be? Or just maybe how many? Like, time up.
So there are four boxes, same as the first round. And I know that there's one at North Halcyon and Grand near the 7-Eleven there, that area. Mm-hmm. And then there's going to be one near Valley Road and Fair Oaks near the high school. And
one in the village.
Traffic Way and Branch Street, right by the entrance to the village.
Mm-hmm.
And
the fourth one's a mystery box.
It's going to be a really visible location. I can't think of right now, but we got some really great designs. There's one that specifically has butterflies on it. And there's one that has jacaranda trees on it. And we'll definitely make sure to send you guys all the information after the meeting.
Thank you. They're always fun to see.
Thank you. They are fun.
Appreciate it. Okay. Well, with that, I will adjourn the meeting. Thank you. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you. Question. So regarding the appeal, basically you're saying that you've already approved this part of